The following program is provided by Renew Your Mind Ministries. Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God radio program, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Welcome back to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God program, where we take a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Word of God. We are currently in the book of John, chapter 4, where we're going to continue our discussion looking at Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, the Samaritan at the well. Or you can hear the program on each Tuesday from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 90.1 WMPR. Or at any time, if you missed any episodes, and for future episodes, you can catch them or listen to them on our website of renewyourmindministries.org. That's Renew Your Mind Ministries, that's TRIES.org, or on any podcasting platform such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere where you can hear a podcast, we are there. Alexa, Amazon Alexa, you can find us there as well. Don't forget about our sister podcast, the God Revelation Podcast, where we are doing a verse by verse, chapter by chapter, look at the book of Revelation. So check that out or listen to that on our website of renewyourmindministries.org or on any of the podcasting platforms. Now, going back, we left off, we are in the New Testament of the Bible, the book of John, chapter 4. And where we left off, I believe we left off on either verse 10 or 11. And to recap that, we're looking at, in this chapter, Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan at the well. We looked at on last week as Jesus was departing the Judean to avoid confrontation with the Pharisees because it was not in the Father God's will at that time to confront them. That will come later. So he left there on his way to Galilee, and going to Galilee, they passed through Samaria. Ordinarily, Jews would not go through Samaria because there was a hate relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so Jesus said that he had to go through Samaria. And the reason why he said he had to go through Samaria, because it was in his Father's will to go through Samaria, specifically to encounter and meet and change the life of the woman at the well. And not only her, but the other village people, because as her life was changed, she went and told them about the Messiah Jesus. They came and he changed their life, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. But that is what happened. And so we left off on verse 11. We're going to pick it up because we haven't finished the encounter with Jesus at the woman in Samaria. That was just a preview of what's to come. So we left off on, I think, verse 10 or 11. We're going to pick up on verse 11. In our usual sense, we're going to read the entire section of verses here and then come back and break them down individually. I'm not sure if we're going to get to all of them today, but we will try. And if the Lord says the same, we will pick it back up where we left off on next week. So if you would open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 4, or open your Bible app to the book of John, chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1 in the New Testament. Verse 1, chapter 4. "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee." Verse 4. "Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon." Verse 7. "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Verse 16, he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Verse 17, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. You say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Verse 21, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seek. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he would explain everything to us." Verse 26, then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for being our God. We praise and worship you in this moment. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just celebrated Resurrection Weekend, where your only begotten Son, Jesus, was crucified on the cross for our sins, and that you lifted him up on the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit from death, giving him victory over death and hell. And so we thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you, Jesus, for obeying the Father even unto death, coming down from heaven to allow your holy, godly, precious blood to be spilled to atone for our sins, that we may have everlasting life with you, that we may be born again in the Spirit, the new man, the Spirit man born, that can worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this time. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to better understand and receive the things that you are showing us in your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and give honor and thanks. Amen and amen. All right, so let's go back. We're going to start our breakdown 10. Let's do verse 10 and pick it up from there. And remember, let's put it back in context that, as we just saw in the reading of the verses, that she was shocked that Jesus was speaking to her, because she was one, a woman, and they didn't know one another, and that Jesus was Jewish and she was a Samaritan, and knowing the history of the Jews and the Samaritan not getting along. So she was surprised by Jesus asking her for a drink out of this well, because that would require her to use her utensils, him drinking after her. And that was something that Jews just definitely did not do, because Samaritans just were unclean by the very point or being Samaritans. And so she was caught off guard when Jesus asked her that. And we also looked at and put it in the context so we can pick it back up, is that we looked at the reason why she was at the well during noontime, the hottest time of the day in the desert, getting this water by herself, when typically the Samaritan women, and pretty much all women during that time, because again, this was a different time than we have now. There were no running water and faucets and things of that nature. So the women in the Jewish culture and the Samaritan culture will typically come early in the morning or later in the afternoon when it wasn't so hot as a group to help each other out to gather all the water that would be needed and take it back to the village and to their homes that would be needed for drinking, for cooking, for washing, for the livestock. And that's labor intensive. So they would do that as a group to help each other out. However, this Samaritan woman, as we saw on last week, she was by herself. And the reason why she was by herself, because she was an outcast due to her being married 5 times and currently living with a man who was not her husband. And everybody in that village knew that. And so she was an outcast. No one would have anything to do with her. And so that's why she was there by herself. And so we're going to see Jesus take this woman who in society was an outcast, who was looked down on, who was considered immoral, and extend and explain to her his grace and his mercy and reveal to who he was or who he is, which is the Messiah, which if you look compared to when we looked earlier in this chapter, when he encountered Nicodemus, he didn't reveal himself to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, I mean, you look in the comparison of the two, that she was a woman, he was a man. They looked at men in higher esteem in that society than women. He was Jewish. She's a Samaritan. He was a teacher of the law. She was not. He was a member of the ruling religious class. She was not. And we see how Jesus interact with this woman, showing and knowing her sinful background or immoral background compared to Nicodemus, who he had a similar background, not necessarily the same thing, because all men, all women have fallen short of the glory. But we see Jesus seeking after this woman who would be quote unquote a sinner to show us as sinners that Jesus wants us. He's not coming to us because we have done everything right. There's no such thing. There's only one person on this earth who has lived perfectly and sinless, and that's Jesus. No matter who you are, what you are, or where you are, if you took a breath, came from a woman and a man and took a breath, you have sinned by the virtue of who you are lineage from, Adam and Eve. And even beyond that, everybody in this world has sinned and has fallen short of the glory. Because we know as human beings that is true from our own human experience. And we know from the word, which is true and perfect and flawless, that we've all sinned, have come short of the glory. Therefore, we need Jesus. And we see Jesus extending himself to this woman. So, all right, let's pick it up in verse number 10. Verse number 11, which says, and to put it in context, Jesus has just said, I'm going to read verse 10 to put it in context. Jesus answered, John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. Verse 11, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? As I explained on last week, similar to Nicodemus, she didn't know what Jesus was talking about, but he's going to continue to minister her to her, and eventually she's going to get it. Now let's move on to verse 12, John chapter 4, verse 12. This is the woman speaking to Jesus. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock? The question here is almost, you can almost see that she was asking him sarcastically about this well that Jesus supposedly had, because you got to remember, Jesus just asked her for some water from Jacob's well. And now Jesus is telling her that he can give her some living water. So you can see when she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us his well and drank from himself, there's some sarcasm behind that, because she really don't understand what's going on, but she's being sarcastic with Jesus about Jacob and whether or not he's greater than Jacob, who gave them this well and they've been drinking from for hundreds of years. And all of a sudden, this man who comes up to who she don't know saying, hey, I can give you some water even better than this. So she's being sarcastic here. So moving on to verse 13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Here, Jesus is beginning to unpack or explain the concept of this water of life that he told her he could offer her. As we saw with Nicodemus, when he told Nicodemus that in order to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to be born again, Nicodemus was, it appears, or seemingly took that literally. Seemed like this woman is taking this literally about this living water. But what Jesus is referring to is the rebirth through the power of the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of the birth of the spiritual man. So Jesus is beginning to explain that to her, and the difference, as we're going to see, between physical will and thirst and spiritual birth and the Holy Spirit. Verse number 14. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Hallelujah. Jesus here is explaining to the woman the nature of salvation. All right. In order to get literal water from a well, a person has to work for it. You have to lower the bucket. You got to pull the bucket up and get the next one. Jesus has promised her the living water that she would never have to thirst again, that leads to eternal life. And what he's explaining to her, that you can't get salvation through your own works, but it's going to come from a spiritual place by birth of the spiritual man, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once a person has accepted Jesus, comparing here to the physical or the literal getting water from a well where you work for, where the water or the living water he's talking about, you can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't live however you want to say you can live your life, or what you're doing by being a good person, by doing good deeds. Well, all those things are commendable. They will not save you according to God's word. According to God's word, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you can get that eternal water, that living water, the Holy Spirit that will give you, that will lead to eternal life. One is temporary and one is eternal. All right, moving on to verse 15. The woman said to him, saying to Jesus, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. We aren't really sure if the woman really understand what Jesus is telling her, but she's showing interest. She's showing interest. We don't know if she's still being sarcastic. This is one thing about when you read the written word, you can't see a person's facial expression. You can't judge how they said a certain phrase as if you were talking to them, where you can judge whether or not someone's being sarcastic, where somebody's being funny. But it seems like he has piqued her interest, because she's asked for this, for him, for Jesus to give her this living water that he's been talking about, so she won't thirst again in verse 15. Moving on to verse 16. He told her, Jesus, that he being Jesus, told her, go, call your husband and come back. What we see here is that Jesus is using this opportunity to show this woman that he's just met that he know everything about her in their next exchange. Because the woman has just asked in verse 15 for Jesus to give her the water, that living water that he was talking about. And what is Jesus' response? He's like, go call your husband. And he already knows by the power of the Holy Spirit, revelation by the power of the Holy Spirit, that she's had five husbands, and currently the man she's with now is not her husband. He's using this as a gateway to expose sin in her life, which we all have. That's symbolic of all our lives, that you come to God with sin. He knows that. He knows everything that you've done. And despite it, he has already offered his son, Jesus, to as a covering, his blood for the covering of your sins. And the only thing you have to do is accept that. And he's showing her this right here, because he's leading to something. Moving on to verse 17, we're in the book of John in the New Testament of the Bible, chapter 4, verse 17, where Jesus is interacting with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and we're on verse 17. John 4, 17, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. Moving on to verse 18, because it flows from there. The fact is, verse 18, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Jesus simply tells this woman, he already knows everything about her, how she's lived, how she's living. He's letting her know, I know everything about you. And when you said you have no husband, I know you don't have any husband. Matter of fact, you've had five. And this woman, you can imagine the shock that she's just experienced because she don't know Jesus. She's never seen Jesus before in her life, but yet he's told her everything about her, herself. Moving on in verse 19, because he's putting her in a position, one, to expose the sins in her life like we all have and have to repent of before coming to Jesus, but also being in a position to realize you need a savior because of that sin. So that's why he's bringing that up to let you know, hey, I know everything about you. And despite it all, I'm still your Lord and Savior. And he's saying that to all of us. He said that to all of us. All of us who've already accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we come to realization that we are sinners. And yet he still wants us and has died for us. And for those who have not, brothers and sisters, who accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't let your past life and sin stop you from coming to Jesus. His name is above anything that you've ever done. His blood can cover and cleanse anything that you can ever done. Don't fall for Satan's trick that you have to get your life together before coming to Jesus. Because if you could get it together, he would not have died on the cross. You can't do it. You can't do it. He did it. Only thing you got to do is accept it. So when Satan tell you you're not good enough, you hadn't done enough, tell him you are the father of lies. I'm not going to believe your lies anymore. And I am going to repent and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what we see in this story here. He knew everything about this woman and she had done in the past. But yet he's still talking to her. He's still explaining the living water to you. He's still offering her salvation and he's offering you salvation. Won't you accept it? In the mighty name of Jesus. Moving on to verse 19. This is the woman, the Samaritan woman, responding to Jesus, just telling her that she's had five husbands. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. He's more than a prophet. But she can see there's something special about Jesus. When Jesus brings up her sin, she acknowledges his insight. And then the next thing we see her doing, trying to distract Jesus from that insight. Because let's look at it. Let's look at verse 20. Our ancestors, this is the woman, that the Samaritan woman talking to Jesus at the well. This is her response. Verse 20, chapter 4. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. This is an attempt for her to distract Jesus. Because think about it. She's talking about where they're supposed to worship. That has nothing to do with what Jesus just said. That woman, you have had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. She's trying to distract Jesus from what they're talking about, trying to change the subject. Because that's usually what we do when sin is exposed in our life and we know we're in sin. We don't want, we just our pride, our whatever you want to call it, don't want to come to submission, just acknowledge, I just been doing wrong. I've been wrong. I may have done wrong. I thought wrong. But Jesus has paid the price for all that. The blood covers all that. But you got to accept him. But look at this. This is an attempt to distract Jesus from what they're talking about. Where they worship ain't had nothing to do with what Jesus just said. But let's look at what Jesus said in verse 21. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Instead of being distracted, Jesus continued to explain the gospel. It may seem like he's going down that path, but he's continuing to explain the gospel for him. Because again, he's Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he know what she's doing. He know that she's trying to distract him. So he's staying focused. He's staying letting him. He's finna keep on track of explaining salvation. The woman questions revolves around the proper location of worship. And let me put that in context. And what she was talking about is that the Jews believed in worshiping the temple. It was in Jerusalem. Samaritans believed in worshiping up on this mountain called Mount Jezreel. So Jesus is explaining to her, once you accept salvation, you're going to worship the Father in spirit and truth no matter where you are. No matter where you are, it's not going to be about the temple. It's not going to be about no mountain. It's going to be about God living in you and you worshiping him in spirit and truth through the new born again spirit man. So that's what he's leading. Now, let's look at verse 22 of chapter 4, verse 22 in the book of John. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. The salvation is from the Jews. And what he's referring to, what Jesus is referring to, is that through the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, the Jews, through their line, he has given us Christ, Jesus. Jesus is Jewish. Jesus came from the line of Jews. Salvation come through Jesus. And through the Jews, God has given us his holy word, the Old Testament. So when he says salvation is from the Jews, he's correct. Because Jesus' bloodline is Jewish. So do the death and burial of this Jewish man, God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus, salvation has come. So he's telling her correctly. Let's move on to verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seek. This is part of Jesus correcting her the meaning of worship and where you're supposed to worship and all that is leading towards when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is not about where you worship. It's not about where you worship, but that's where he's going. And that's where we're going to have to end it today. And if the Lord says the same, we're going to pick up in verse 23 and finish it out as Jesus encounters the woman at the well and changes her life. Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, you're just such a good God, and we thank you. Lord, I just ask in the mighty name of Jesus for anybody that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior to pray this prayer after me. Father God, if this is you, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this after me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I repent. I turn from my ways. I believe and confess that your only begotten Son, Jesus, died for my sins. I confess and believe that you raised him from the dead because he was perfect, sinless. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you. I worship you. I praise you in your holy name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer according to God's word, you are saved. No matter what you feel like, trust God for his word. Welcome to the family. Thank you, Father God, for them. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.
That's our time for today's program. We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to us at renewyourmind@gmail.com. Remember, you can hear current and past shows at any time on our website at renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website at renewyourmindministries.org. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." By telling others about the program, you're doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.